People will often ask me, what's the best prayer to pray for the souls in purgatory? And it's a good question, but it's the wrong one. What they should be asking is, what's the virtue that I need that will turn any prayer that I pray for the souls in purgatory into something explosively powerful? Today, I want to reveal to you the Holy Grail of virtues. That's the rarest one to get, the most difficult to get, the most annoying to get. But when you have it, it will transform your prayer dramatically, especially for the souls in purgatory. Let's get right into it. Now, when you look up, what is this? How do I get it? Where does it come from? It's incredibly difficult to find anything definitive, especially from the saints. You'll find just random people defining it, but I don't want random people. I want to get saints that tell you what a thing is. So I found one by Saint Peter of Alcantara. He was a Spanish monk. He taught Saint Teresa of Avila how to pray. She's the doctor on prayer. He taught her. So when he says something, you better be quiet and listen. And he reveals what I'm going to talk to you about. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's very close, and we can use a word for it in this incredible book on prayer. I'll put what the book is called. You can get it for free on the internet. It's called A Golden Treatise of Mental Prayer, because mental prayer is the thing that will get you what I'm talking about. So listen to what he has to say. In this chapter, we will briefly set down the fruit of prayer and meditation, that men, considering the benefit of them, may be incited with a prompt and more willing mind to frequent these holy exercises. It is most certain that the malice of our own hearts is the principal cause that hinders us from attaining to our beatitude and everlasting happiness, because it makes us slow to godly actions, dull to virtuous exercises, and suggests us a greater difficulty in them than there is, which, if it were not, a man might walk without any molestation in the way of virtue, and at length, without labor, attain to his desired end. Can you relate to what he's saying? It's our slow hearts that make everything so difficult. And if we didn't have that, everything would be so easy. And he's going to reveal to you what's going to make it significantly easier. Hence it is that the apostle says, I'm delighted with the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members fighting against the law of my mind and captivating me in the law of sin. This, therefore, is the prime root and cause of all of our miseries. Did you just hear what he said? The prime root and cause of all our miseries is this physical dullness that we have that doesn't let us do anything. Don't you hate it? And he's going to give you the answer here. Against which there is no remedy more convenient and efficacious than, listen to what he's about to say, devotion. Now, he uses this word in a particular way. Devotion means to be devoted. Now, the word that I was searching was fervent. We want fervent prayer. The word fervent comes from a root which means boiling, to glow, on fire. Now, he's using the word devotion, which you could say is a heart filled with fervor. You are devoted to the person that you are praying to, in this case, God, which, according to St. Thomas, is nothing else but a certain promptitude and facility of the mind to do well. It does exclude from our mind this tedious difficulty and makes us with alacrity apply ourselves to virtuous acts. So very quickly we do so. Therefore, not without cause, we may term it spiritual food, recreative and heavenly dew, a pleasant instinct and supernatural affection of the Holy Ghost, which does so strengthen and transform the hearts of men that it does beget in them a new gust and a feeling of spiritual things, and on the contrary, a tedious loathing of worldly vanities. So it will make you love spiritual things and hate earthly things, hate in the good sense. This is what you want. And when you have this, your prayer will be incredibly more fervent. And if you've seen a previous video, I've talked about the limiting factors in praying for others and in praying for situations. Well, one of them is the degree of fervor that you have, that the quality of your prayer, because first there's time, then there's your holiness, and then this other one is the quality of your prayer. Is it good or not? Is it fervent or not? That would be the theological language we would use. Or he might say, do you have devotion in your heart when you're praying? Daily experience manifests this particular unto us, for we see the souls of those who arise from profound and devout prayer to be strengthened with admirable resolutions, adorned with new graces, replenished with firm purposes of amendment of life and frequent pious exercise. They burn, that's fervor right there, with an ardent desire of serving and loving him with their whole heart, whom in their prayer they found the God of all goodness and benignity, desiring to suffer any grievous and burdensome cross whatsoever it be, yea, to shed their blood for his sake. To conclude, prayer is a bath, an open place, a bed of pleasure, wherein the soul refresheth herself. If you ask me what be the chiefest means to attain unto this heroic virtue of devotion, I answer with the same doctor, that it is gotten by serious meditation and contemplation of heavenly things. Okay, we're going to stop reading right there. I'll put a link for you to continue reading, but I want to talk about what is the difference between vocal prayer, meditation, and contemplation. Let's forget about contemplation. It's the highest form of prayer. It's a prayer that God grants unto you. Now, vocal prayer is what most of us do. It's saying words to God or to Jesus, to Mary, to the Holy Spirit, whatever, to a saint. That's vocal prayer. And you can say lots of different prayers. You can be thinking about things as you pray. Meditation is thinking a lot about a few things. That's the key. Now, meditation is incredibly tedious. It's like cracking a walnut with your bare hands. That's the thing. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to pick one of your favorite scenes from the scripture and whatever one line applies to it. That's it. Just one line. So I want you to pick a small amount of things to think about. And I want you to set a timer for 15 minutes and think a lot about that one scene. Let me give you an example of a meditation that I made that granted me after I did it. Now, what happens when you meditate? You're thinking about something divine. And when you crack it open, that's the key. What happens in meditation is it's like you're hitting a rock. You're hitting it again and again and again and again and again. Eventually you crack it open and inside you find a jewel. That jewel is grace that explodes into your soul and gives you devotion. That's what he's talking about. People don't often talk about that experience. Now, let me give you an example. Now, I first was meditating, for instance, on when Jesus was taken down from the cross. And I thought about it. The scripture just says he's taken down from the cross. It doesn't give a lot of detail. So I thought about it for a long time. I thought about Joseph of Arimathea and all the people. I thought about what time it was. I thought about the weather. I sat and thought, and I was calculating in my mind, what was happening? How long did that take? And I was able to gather that basically, when they took Jesus' body down from the cross, he spent a lot of time in Mary's hands. Hours. Hours. And she sat there for hours with Jesus' dead body, waiting for Joseph of Arimathea to go here to get the spices. That all took a long time, because wherever he was getting the spices, he had to go here, he had to go to Pilate's place, etc. And then, after they did all of that, so he died at 3, couple of hours later, and then what time was sunset? What time did it begin to get dark? Probably like 7 p.m., because it happened sometime like around April. And so then he was buried just as the sun was setting. The Bible doesn't say this, but if you think about it for a long time, and in the way that the whole day had been happening, according the cosmos was turning around everything that God was doing, that it makes sense that at the moment the sun died, the sun died, the sun set, and that those two things coincided so as to say Jesus is Lord of the cosmos. And that's what my so thinking a lot about a small amount, and you're like, wow, what are all these crazy things happening here? And that information that you get is filled with grace. That's what meditation will do to you. All of these videos, if I've ever said something profound, it's because I've thought a lot about a little. Don't think a lot about a lot of things. Don't think a little about a lot of things. Don't think a little about a few things. Think a lot about a small amount of things. That's meditation. And when you do that, you will find spiritual jewels that will explode in your soul and will grant you this grace of devotion, which will then make your prayer more fervent, so that when you pray for anybody, and the souls in purgatory in particular, your prayer will be significantly more fervent because you will be filled with this grace-filled love of God from the Holy Spirit. You have to do this. You have to deepen your prayer life. Try it. Pick a small line in the Bible. Pick your favorite scene. Small line, one verse. Set a 15-minute timer. Everyone can do that. And think a lot about a few things. You will find that it will grant you incredibly more grace than vocal prayer alone. We need to do both. And if God wills it, He'll even grant you the gift of contemplative prayer. My friends, I hope this helped you. Please subscribe and like, support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.